السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is the teachings of the Sharia that a man must, as far as possible, not make life difficult for his wife and keep her in comfort and ease to the best of his ability, whatever is his financial standing, to the best of that ability, he must try and keep her in comfort and ease. Together with providing for her basic needs, keep her happy also. One is just to fulfill the basic requirement, right? The other is to do things to make her happy. Unfortunate thing is that when people are in haram relationships, people are dating and all that, then they want to go out of their way to make that illicit beloved happy. But after they get married, the wife is taken for granted. Then the person stops making any effort. He forgets which shop sells roses, which shop sells chocolates. He forgets all nice sayings, all that. He forgets all of that. Only in a haram relationship, then he bears those things in mind. So this is incorrect, right? If the wife does something which is untoward, then forgive her. And if she causes you grief, adopt sabr, adopt patience. Inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you will be greatly rewarded by Allah ta'ala. If you just keep saying to yourself, you know what, she's a servant of Allah. She's a servant of Allah. She's made some mistake. How I want Allah Pak to forgive me, let me also forgive her. How I want Allah Pak to overlook my shortcomings, let me also overlook her shortcomings. Allah Ta'ala will reward the person greatly. Muslim men should treat and behave with their wives in the manner shown to us by Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is necessary that the husband not make life constrained for his wife. Heavy rules, you have to go to her mother's house. No, no, you can't go. It's my right. I don't have to let you go. Her sister is not well or something. You married to me now. You're not married to your family. The day you got married to me, I finished paying mehr. Now you just sit around here in the house. You want to go to visit your sister, who's going to cook and give me lunch and supper here? It's making life constrained for her for no reason at all. Do not rebuke her for every small thing. If the salt is lacking in the food, or the food is not prepared on time, etc., etc., bear it patiently. One of the harms of constantly rebuking and complaining is that if ever there is a genuine need to rectify some dini wrong she may be involved in, and if you counsel her or advise her, she will not heed your advice or listen to you. When a person keeps on nagging all the time, he's finding fault with everything, then sometimes there is some important thing also that he needs to point out to her, which is genuinely her weakness. Then even that she won't listen to him, because now she's, every time he opens his mouth, in her mind already switches off. This fellow here, nobody ever listens to him in the whole world, so he comes here and fills my ears. So immediately she shuts off. As soon as you start talking, she shuts off, because she's tired of listening to you. So now even important things that you need to get across to her, she won't listen to you. One person phoned me once from another province. He was having problems with his wife, and he's taking so long to explain to me this problem from different, and he already knows the problem, he knows the solutions, he knows why she's not listening, everything. He's taking so long to explain to this whole thing. And then he says to me, he says, you know, Marana, I go out of my way to try to explain to her, and she says she's tired of listening to my bayans. At the end of the conversation, I told him, brother, I don't blame her. I'm already tired of listening to you. You cannot get to the point. You've explained yourself one time. Finish, the story is over. Don't go on and on and on harping over this. Now, if he's taking so long to explain this one thing to me, I'm just trying to think, what is this poor woman going through? Imagine every time there's a problem, he must be sitting down like an advocate now. Right? Surround here. And he starts now explaining. Bichari, she must be finished up, man. You explain something one time, finish, story is over. And always be prepared to look at something from your spouse's point of view. Be prepared to look at something from your spouse's point of view. Don't be bullheaded. Only see something your way. Look at something from your spouse's point of view. Right? See, sometime we have something in our minds. Right? See, for example, this renovation is taking place there, right? So I'm getting upset that why do you want to interfere with the face of the house? You don't live there. Right? The other hand, the spouse is saying, no, this thing has to get changed. Can't stay like this. Has to get changed. Now I'm saying, why you want to change this thing? We live in the house, not outside the house. What are you going to do with changing the outside of the house? Not doing anything extravagant or anything, but just changing a certain thing. So the other day, this husband and wife sat down now. So the husband is explaining to the wife that this is israf, right? Why you, that roof is fine, it's serving its purpose there. Why do you want to go now and make a parapet? For what? And then that thing, you'll see all the rain water marks and all these things. It's all a waste of time. So the wife explains, she says that, see, you know that I'm not a flashy person, I'm not a showing off person or something like that, right? I don't want to do this thing like that to show anybody. In your mind, you saying, why we must do the outside, you want, who you want to show? That's in your mind, that whoever does the outside, they're showing off. Right? So the wife says that, see, let me explain something to you. She says, you see this roof, it's not a perfect V. You know, the roof normally be a V, right? Or different shape of a roof, both sides are equal. See, this thing is not equal. One side is longer than the other side. Now, you know how you get irritated when one book is not straight. You can't function. You can't read namaz. Next to you, one book is crooked. You can't concentrate in your namaz. Say, to me, that thing, it looks untidy. It looks untidy. It's like if I walked in a room and there's a whole lot of papers lying on the floor. I need to pick it up, need to clean it up. But I don't know how to pick that thing up and clean that thing up. I don't know how to do that. The papers I can pick up, the dishes I can put away, to make the place look neat and tidy. But that thing there, now one side is longer than the other side. Irritates me. Every time I look at it, it's an irritation. So make it straight. So then, that's your reason. That's your reason, then okay. It's justifiable. So you got to look at things from the next person's point of view as well. Right? Sometimes we got a certain train of thought and we judging everybody by the same train of thought. Right? But their train of thought is different. There's a different reason they're doing something. So be open to discussion. Be open to listen to somebody else's point of view. Don't only think that I know it all and what I say is right. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the good guidance to bear patiently the flaws of our wives. And I'm going to add on something there. Just as they have to bear patiently our flaws. Isn't it? We want them, we say Allah Pak must give us tawfiq to bear patiently their flaws. We also got so many flaws that they have to bear patiently with us. And Allah Ta'ala allow us to live happily and comfortably. Now, the next section here is advice for the groom's parents. Right? So one day Allah Ta'ala make you a groom's parent. Or maybe you can go and give your parents this advice to give to you when you becoming a groom. Alright. It is appropriate that every Muslim turns only to Allah Ta'ala in times of difficulty and restlessness and search for what the law of Allah Ta'ala is regarding any issue. Whatever the issue may be, we have to always check what is Allah Pak's ruling. We can't just take matters into our own hands. They should also seek clarification from the pious ulama regarding the avenue Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take in such matters. In other words, what is the sunnah? In this issue here, what is the sunnah? How am I supposed to act in this situation? It would be incorrect for a person to formulate his or her own solutions when there are answers in the deen. There are answers in deen, we can't make our own stories. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, it would be correct to say that we recognize Allah Ta'ala by using our akalmandi. What? Our akalmandi, our intelligence. Through the intelligence that Allah Pak has given us, we recognize who our Allah is. But it would be incorrect to say that we need to understand the laws of Allah Ta'ala with our intelligence. We must recognize who Allah is with the Allah given intelligence. But the laws of Allah Ta'ala, we must just follow it blindly. Whether we understand, we don't understand, we mustn't worry about that. We must just follow the laws of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How beautifully Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained it. So the author says that we would like to draw your attention to an important matter. We make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that He grants us the entire grants us an open mind to understand. In our society, the issue of the newly married couple living on their own is taboo. Right? Now, in our country also, here the author is probably referring to India or something, right? Now, in our country was the same issue. Now, alhamdulillah, with ulama educating us, etc. So, it is changing a little bit. But certain families still hold this. That no, the one son must stay with us. Right? Must stay in the same house as the parents. Right? People regard it an insult for the son to move on his own after getting married. Many parents are not willing to budge on the issue and will listen to nothing. And this happens even up to today with the older people. Sometimes that marriage is on the rocks because this girl is not prepared to live in the in-laws' home. But the parents are just stubborn. They won't have any of it. They'll even tell their son, "I'd rather divorce her if that's the case." But how can you leave your parents? And as we were discussing in Hayatul Muslimin, then the mother will play that other card about Hazrat Alqamah radiallahu anhu. You want to give preference to your wife. You saw what happened to Hazrat Alqamah radiallahu anhu. He couldn't read Kalima when he was passing away. Here there is no giving preference to the wife. Here it is her haqq. What the parents are asking for is not their haqq. What the wife is requesting, she wants to live on her own, that is her haqq, that is her right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her that right. Right? So many parents are not willing to budge on the issue and will listen to nothing. Even the son regards it as usurping his parents' rights to want to move out of his parents' home. If he wants to move out of his parents' home, the way this thing has been drummed into his head, that he starts thinking that no, maybe I'll be usurping my parents' rights if I have to do this. It is as though the son and daughter-in-law have committed a grave sin by moving out on their own. And it becomes a major problem. If eventually they take the decision and they go, the parents don't want to talk to them. They treat them very badly. Have you noticed that nowadays there are so many sins which people perpetrate in the open without anyone regarding it as evil? This is because we have become desensitized and the evil of sin has left our hearts. On the other hand, there are many other acts which are allowed and permissible in the Sharia, but because society deems them inappropriate and bad, hence we regard such acts as sinful and taboo. I always mention this. Today, alhamdulillah, we read it in the kitab. That so many things, just because society has accepted it, even though it's haram, but it's not regarded as something that is sinful or bad. And other things which are permissible, but because society doesn't recognize it, then it's regarded as like a major wrong that the person is doing. I always give this example that if a father, you boys put yourself in this situation. You see, it's very easy when you talking about you taking a second wife. Men, they like to talk like that, I'll take a second wife, third wife. I ask you a question, right? A father comes home. Comes home. Hey, see what I got in the car. Come help me to take it out. And what is bringing? A new TV. Big size TV with surround sound. He bought a whole new system, Big TV, cinema size TV screen with the surround sound and everything. His company truck had to bring it. Can't even fit in his car. The truck had to bring it, come and deliver it home. Now everybody is excited. I'm talking about the average family who watches television and all that, right? Everybody is excited. They're all helping. They all want to see how this thing is going to go up, what's going to be the effects. And the fellow will go tomorrow to school or to university and brag to all his friends about what a big screen TV his father brought home. Next Manchester United match, you must all come to my house. We'll check it on the big screen. We'll even hear the thud of the togs on the ball when that fellow is kicking with the surround sound and everything. Everybody is excited, right? But the TV is haram. To watch all the film, movies, everything on the TV is haram, right? But if the father is to come home, and he has to address his family and say, there's a widow living too in our community. She's got 2-3 children. There's nobody to look after. She's battling. I've decided to make nikah to her. Now check. Now see the tamasha in the house. If there's big sons and all that in the house, big problem, man. They'd be fighting with the father, siding with the mother. How could you do a thing like this and that? Next day, that fellow is so embarrassed, he doesn't want to go to school anymore, doesn't want to go to university anymore, because he's embarrassed now, his father took a second wife. Whereas, that is sunnah. That what the father did is sunnah. But that's a major problem. Why? Society doesn't accept it. But this television is haram. But because society accepts it, everybody is happy. I'm not saying you must go and get second wives and all that. I'm just explaining to you how we get so influenced by society. If one studies this matter carefully and with an unbiased mind, then you will realize that to regard the newlywed couple as having perpetrated a wrong by living separately instead of living with the parents, brothers, sisters, etc., as being a silly and incomprehensible ideology. In fact, such beliefs and ideologies have been embedded in our minds following our having lived for so many years amongst the Hindus. All this is the Hindu culture, or nothing to do with Islam. In fact, if a girl, from before she gets married, right, if her parents have to make a stipulation that, you know what, are they going to be living on their own, people start talking bad about that family. They're only worried about wealth, and that girl don't want to live with the in-laws and this and that. Are it's her right. If she don't want to live with the in-laws, it's her haq, it's her right. She didn't do anything wrong. There was an incident that happened not too long ago, not in Marisburg, another town. A boy, now their family, right? Their family. So a boy comes to propose for a girl. So the boy is happy, the girl is happy. But the girl's father makes a condition. He says that, look, we will only accept this proposal if my daughter has her own separate dwelling. You don't have to buy her a new separate house. She can live within the same yard, but just build for her like an outbuilding, or you know, like an attached cottage or something, and she will live separately. Have her own kitchen, her own room. She'll live separately. So they agreed. The boy's side agreed. Now they say, when are we going to make the nikah? So the girl's father said, no, as soon as you've got that place ready, we'll make the nikah. We'll build a place, because you haven't got it. We'll give you all some time, you'll build it up. And if you'll need assistance also to build it, we don't mind assisting also in the building, you know, financially, whatever. We don't mind assisting also in the building. And as soon as it's ready, then we'll make the nikah. Now, this thing is not getting ready. They're not even starting with it. And time is going. So eventually, they asked them, say, what's going on now? So now they came back with the story and they said, no. We decided that they have to live with us in the house. So the girl's father said that, look, if that is the case, then rather call it off. Because this was the precondition. Now, if you're not prepared to fulfill the precondition, then call it off. Right? Now, that girl is being victimized. You don't want to look after the old people, and why you all had to call it? Is being made to look like she did something wrong. Who is wrong here? Isn't it the boys' party? The boys' party lied. They never kept to their word. Right? They said that they agree to the precondition, which is the haq of the girl. Right? They didn't live up to it. So they are the party who did the wrong here. But see how now the whole thing is turned onto the girl. That you don't want to make khidmat of the old people, and why are you all acting like this, for what? It's her right. Beloved readers, Allah subhanahu, we will say beloved listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have not prevented newlyweds from living separately. In fact, it is an advisable act and something that is liked by the Sharia. Living separately fosters greater love between the wife and her in-laws. Because now when she's going to come to visit, she'll bring something and come. She'll come to visit. Now when she's there for that 1-2 hours, she'll want to make their khidmat, everything. Everybody is in good books. But when you're living together, each one is stamping the other one's toes. Now there's problems, fighting, arguing. But you live separately, it fosters more muhabbat, more love. Experience shows that when the bride lives together with her mother and sister-in-law, then there is some or the other argument or dissatisfaction every day. Peace and quiet is a rare find in such homes. It is for this reason that the parents of the groom do not prevent their son and daughter-in-law from living separately. In fact, since this is exhorted in the Sharia, they should make a special effort at bringing it into practice. If their son wishes to live separately from the very first day, they should happily consent. And even if their son is not really in favor of living separately, they should actually encourage him to do so. The parents should encourage the son to live separately. We hear of many such cases where the entire families live together and there is constant strife and arguments in those households. In this regard, Hazrat Maulana Ashrafali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali mentions in his kitab Waaz Hukukul Bayt on page 48, he mentions that his opinion is that the newlywed couple live separately from day one. This Hazrat says is the best option. The best option is that from day one they must live separately. At another juncture he says, if the groom's parents prohibit his living separate, but his wife demands separate quarters, then it is necessary that he accede to the wife's request, because there is no obedience to the creation in the disobedience of the Creator. Allah Pak's law is Allah Pak gave her the haq to live separately. You cannot now listen to your parents and trample on the right which Allah gave that girl. Since it is the right of the wife to have separate quarters, therefore it would be incorrect and sinful for the husband to deprive her of that right. In this situation, it is appropriate that he does as his wife wishes and not what his parents want, because the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala lies in him fulfilling the right of his wife. His parents have no right to demand that he stays with them. Yes, if the girl herself agrees that no, I don't mind living with the in-laws, the husband is happy to live with the in-laws, then fine, there's no problem. Hazrat mentions that in this present era, it is best that the newlyweds live separately from the very first day, because in this lies peace and harmony for everyone. A person came to Hazrat Maulana Ashrafali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali and requested a taweez for his daughter-in-law so that she may be obedient to him. The father-in-law is asking for taweez. I need a taweez for this daughter-in-law of mine. She must be obedient to me. Hazrat Maulana told him that the best taweez in this case is that he sends his son and his daughter-in-law to live separately. That is the taweez in this case. He said that sometimes people live with their parents for fear of chastisement from people, and in this lies perpetual discomfort and an uneasy life. Peace and comfort and a good reputation do not lie together. It is better to opt for a comfortable and peaceful life with a bad name. If all people are going to condemn you, no problem. They rather condemn. But you know you're happy. You're going to worry about pleasing the whole world and you living a miserable life. What is the sense in that? So it is better to be in comfort and peace with people condemning you than to have all the people praising you and you yourself living in constant discomfort and grief. In the present times, it is best to live separately, but still look after your parents and serve them. Look after the parents and serve them. Fair, we'll stop here. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.